Good evening. Ooh, my voice is gone. What a blessing. Tonight I'd like to speak to you, and I'm not sure if anybody has done it recently, but I'd like to speak to you on drought. What I have noticed is that although we are in the midst of the worst drought that we have faced as a province in what seems to be almost 100 years, the response has been quite interesting. And the question we need to ask ourselves this evening, as we live here in this country, where we are experiencing a drought in the Western Cape, and the rest of the country is experiencing floods, and some areas are being devastated by lightning and hail, and you look at the country as a whole, and you see what's going on, how are we to interpret it in the light of Scripture? How do we understand our circumstances as the Bible describes them? Now, drought is a very serious matter and can lead to devastating hardships. We've read from Jeremiah chapter 14, when at the time of the exile, when the Babylonians were busy invading Jerusalem, there was at the same time a severe drought. Drought is a common thing, and as we read of what happened to them, it's quite graphic and really quite extreme. I mean, these are things that put great fear into our hearts. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all experienced droughts that significantly uprooted them and changed their circumstances. Joseph rose to prominence in Egypt because of a drought, a famine that was started because of a drought. And Elijah ministered at a critical point in Israel's history when they had wandered far from the Lord and were worshipping the prophets, they were worshipping Baal, and it was all due to a drought which God had sent. What makes it difficult is there's hardly anything said about drought in the New Testament. But we can read Scripture and we can deduct from the teaching of Scripture what God may be saying to us. And we need to be open to hearing God's word, because God's dealings with Israel, although very different to him dealing with us, is also nevertheless a model of how God will deal with people ultimately. And so we need to hear what God has to say. And this evening I just want to say four basic things about the drought and how I believe that we should respond to it as Christian people living here in the Western Cape. The first thing we need to remind ourselves of is that God is sovereign over the weather. God is sovereign over the weather. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he controls all things, and he controls the weather as well. So it is God who gives us the rain. Rain, according to the Bible, is sent directly by God's goodness. So that, for instance, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, when the temple has been built and Solomon is told that he, when he comes and prays there, he says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain." This is what God says to Solomon. "When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, then." You see, it is God who shuts up the heavens. God can turn the rain off like that, and God can turn the rain on like that. He controls it. Yes, we do talk about the laws of nature, and these laws are just the expression of God's will. They are the expression of how God brings rain and what he uses. And he doesn't normally bring rain, well, he never brings rain, apart from these laws, which are just really a physical and a visible demonstration of his power. So, for instance, when Elijah came on the scene. We are told now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe and Gilead said to Ahab, "At the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." There will be no rain unless I speak that word. Elijah was the prophet. He was speaking God's word. You see, the withholding of rain is not a sign that God has lost control, but that God has decided to withhold the rain. So we may look at the weather conditions, and we've become so advanced and so blasé about weather reports that we actually even are tempted to think that we are in control of the rain. But it's never like that, because God is the one who sends rain. He sent Elijah back in chapter 18. He says, "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.'" You see, the laws of nature are God's laws. They never act independently of him. They never act apart from him. There will not be a cloud in the sky if God does not send that cloud. So that when Elijah sent his servant after he had prayed, he said, "Go, I want you to go and have a look and tell me what you see." And he comes back and he says, "All I can see is a cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "Come, let's get going quickly, because we're going to get flooded. The rain is on its way." You see, God had answered his prayers. And so that is the first great lesson that we need to learn about drought. Is God is in control of the weather. And God is the one who sends the rain, and God is the one who withholds it. The second lesson that we need to learn about drought and about what we are experiencing, and these things that I'm sharing with you are not things that we can negotiate on. These are truths that are definite. I will show you now that there are some things that we are not sure of, but the things that I'm going to share with you, the scripture is clear and plain about these things. And the second thing is this, is that God did use drought to punish the nation of Israel. Drought was one of the ways in which God punished his wayward people. It was part and parcel of the covenant that he had made with them. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read these words: "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the other nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hand." You see, that was the covenant that God entered into with Israel. However, we also read in verse 15 of chapter 28, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commandments and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you will be iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed." You see, God took his people and he redeemed them, and he took them into the promised land, and he gave them a covenant by which they were to live. And if they obeyed him, they would experience his blessing. And if they disobeyed him, he would punish them. And one of the means by which God did this was through either giving rain, which was a blessing, or withholding it, which was his judgment. Now, that's the plain teaching of Scripture. Now, of course, we are not Israel. you see. And we don't know whether this drought that we are experiencing is, in actual fact, God's judgment. But we do know that it was that for Israel. We don't know what it is for us because God hasn't raised up an Elijah. No prophet has come to warn us that for the next 3 years there will be no rain. What we have is the Bible. We have the Word of God to guide us. We understand how God works. We understand how important it is to obey God. We understand how disastrous it is to disobey God. But we do not have a direct word. So I can't stand up here this evening and say to you, this drought is God's judgment. But I would ask you to reflect on it. Because it may be. It may be his judgment. And I suppose the question we need to ask ourselves, are we any different to Israel? Are we any better than Israel? Have we forsaken the Lord? Has the Western Cape forsaken the Lord? Has South Africa forsaken the Lord? We pray that the Lord will remove corruption. We pray that the Lord will remove poverty. We pray that the Lord will remove the drought. But can we say that the Lord is being obeyed? Or do we perhaps deserve what we've got? You see, we do live in a fallen world that includes drought. So not all drought is as a result of what we understand to be the judgment of God, although indirectly it is. Because any sign of fallenness, whether it be sickness or whatever it may be, is in actual fact God's judgment. But it may not be because of my own personal sin. You see, so I would get sick, not necessarily because I've committed a specific sin and God has judged me, but I will fall sick because I'm part of a sinful race. And I live in a fallen world in which I'm going to get caught up in all the ravages of abandoning God. So we need to think about this as we reflect. Because we do need to ask ourselves that question as to whether God perhaps is judging us. And we need to at least be open to it. I wonder if we are able to deny it. I wonder if we're able to say with any clarity and confidence, no, God can't be judging us. We don't deserve it. Can we say that? So we need to look at Israel and we need to look back on how God has unfolded his purposes and how he has worked in history. Because you see, God is consistent in his ways. And certainly, he's always used creation to reveal his glory. And his glory would include his judgment. The third thing I want to say about the drought and God and the Bible is that God speaks to us through the creation. You see, the created order is almost like a book that God has written for us to read. And so that in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, it says it speaks forth without a voice, without words. It speaks. In the book of Romans, it actually says that the creation speaks so loudly that no man is without excuse, because what needs to be known about God is plain for every man to see. And so that as we look at creation, we see God revealing himself. And you see, this goes right back to the flood. When God spoke to Noah and he sent this flood, and then he said, I will never send a flood again. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. You see, God hasn't put us into an unstable universe. But it tells me that God speaks through how the creation functions. And especially through the regularity of the seasons. You see, summer and autumn and winter and spring, as we see the workings of creation, we see the hand of God. You know, on that occasion in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas went to Lystra, he healed a crippled man. And when they saw this, they wanted to make them gods. And they even gave names to Paul and to Barnabas. And then Paul, of course, was flabbergasted by this. So he was, you know, he didn't know what to do. Although he did know what to do, he immediately pointed them to something and he said, No. There is a God who made the heavens and the earth. And he goes on and says this, and he has not left himself without testimony. He has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain. You see, the rain is a sign of God's kindness. That's what he says, from heaven, and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. And God does that through the creation. It's called his common grace. So every man experiences God's common grace. We know a lot about saving grace, but we don't often focus on common grace. Common grace is a good way to reach unsaved people. Because every man and woman and child is experiencing God's grace. And so Jesus taught us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And what Jesus taught us is that these changes in the seasons and the changes in our world are signs for us to read. And we must not be blind to them. So that when we see something going wrong, when we see there is a drought, when we see there is a tsunami, when we see there is volcanic eruption, when we see there is floods and hail and lightning, we look at these things and they tell us something. We are able through them to interpret what is happening to us. Because this is God's creation and he is sovereign over these things that are happening. And so Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Then he says this, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? I'm just telling myself I must stop. You see? You see, the things that happen around us in our world is a way for us to respond to God. So it is right and proper for us to give thanks to God when he sends rain. You see, because it is a sign of his kindness. Every day that is given to me, the air that I breathe, the life that I have, the children that I have, the home that I have, the food that I eat, all of these things are gifts from God. But if God should withhold them, then I need to reflect and I need to read the signs of the times. You see? Because God is speaking to me. Because God uses the creation to reveal his hidden purposes, his invisible nature, is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. For since the creation, the world's in God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I mean, what do you think the drought tells us when you look at it? That you need buckets? That we need to get desalinators? That we need to access the aquifers? You see, in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah says this, "No, it is you, O Lord our God. Therefore our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this." You see, God uses natural disasters to call people to himself. And the last thing I want to say about drought and what the Bible teaches is that not only must I be reminded that God is sovereign over the weather, that God used drought to punish Israel, and that God uses and has always used his creation to reveal his hidden purposes, but also that God answers prayer in times of disaster. In actual fact, it is the most natural thing for us to do, to cry out to God when we face a disaster. A drought is one of the most wonderful things to cause us to pray. If I should shut up the heavens, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You see, as much as the drought could be a sign of God's judgment, it is always a sign of his grace, because it's a way of waking us up. It is a way of reminding us that we are dependent on God and that he wants us to bring all our needs to him, because he alone can do these things. He does not expect us to sort it out ourselves. He expects us to pray. He expects us to confess. He expects us to repent and to humble ourselves before him. And in so doing, that we will bring all our requests and our needs to the one who is able to meet them. And he alone is our Heavenly Father to whom we pray. You see, in James chapter 5, it says this, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. That is quite interesting, that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. James is encouraging us to do the same, to pray and to seek God. Because you see, no matter how advanced we are, and no matter how high a view we may have of ourselves, we can't create rain, and we cannot create water. God alone is able to do that. And yet you see, all through the book of Jeremiah and all through the Old Testament, the picture is of the stubbornness and the refusal of God's people when in times of disaster to seek God in prayer. I don't know, and I may, please don't think I'm being judgmental here, but have we been calling for days of prayer and fasting for rain? Are we desperately crying out to God? Are we coming before Him and examining our hearts and saying, Lord, we have sinned against You. We have disobeyed You. We have wandered from Your truth. And we have dishonored You. And we deserve what You have sent us. But we pray that You will have mercy on us, that You will forgive us, and that You will send us rain. You see, there is a principle in the Bible which we sometimes forget, and it's the principle of sowing and reaping. And the book of Galatians says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You know, the lessons about drought actually flows over into the whole of our lives. Because, you know, we experience drought not just at the level of rain, but we experience drought and devastation at other levels. For instance, in our marriages, in our families, with our children. Children and parents, we experience devastation and drought. In business, we wonder why everything is going wrong. We can't understand why we are not being successful, why we lost that contract, why we are battling financially, why my life is such a struggle, why I am in the mess that I am in now. And what we need to be saying to ourselves, am I reaping what I've sown? And you see, I can't discard God. I can't cast Him aside. I can't worship other gods and expect to experience the blessing of God and the rain of God that should shower down upon me, because God longs to pour out His blessing on us. But it's our stubbornness and our refusal to be humbled and to confess our sin and to see ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. You know, if you look at the book of Deuteronomy, the cursings and the blessing flow over into every area of life, not just the withholding of rain. So for instance, in verse 17, it says, your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke you in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking Him. A man will sow what he reaps. He will reap what he sows. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It is always like that. And so we need to examine ourselves tonight, seriously before the Lord, and ask ourselves, are we taking this too lightly? I can't be dogmatic here tonight. I'm not standing up here pointing my finger. I'm not shouting at you. I'm not waving my Bible at you. I'm including myself in what I have to say to you. And what I am saying is this. Let us consider the word of God. Yes, we may not have an Elijah, but we have the teaching of Scripture. And we need to reflect on it. You and I need to not just look at the nation and say, look at our country. Not only the province, but what about your own life, your own personal life, your home, your own personal happiness? It is directly linked to your relationship with God. It cannot be any other than that. And so therefore I need to humble myself before God, and I need to seek him. You see? So in Deuteronomy 11, it says this, say, if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land that the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. That's the call of Scripture, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Would you bow with me and let's pray.